You can open your Bibles this morning to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. This is going to be our verse-by-verse study for this chapter, so Wednesday we'll head right into chapter 13. But this is all inclusive in this story that takes place here, this little insertion, if you would, into the text that we've been covering. As you recall, the book of Numbers has been filled with all kinds of organization and planning for the people of God that God has instituted to be organized, to really take and get the people ready to take territory and all the rest. And it's been an interesting study, but something takes place here in the midst of that that is important for us to look at this morning, I think. And it's here because God allowed this, of course, to be in this place in the text before the people really get too far along on their journey. Remember, they have just kind of packed up and started moving. They've been in Sinai at the foot of Mount Sinai for 11 months, and they just started packing up and getting ready to go because the cloud, remember, lifted. We talked about on Wednesday night, the cloud lifted up and it started to move, and the people went, "Whoa, man, never seen that before." They knew it in theory that the cloud would turn into a pillar at some point and head out, but so far all they've seen is this blanket of the cloud covering the camp, you know, and now it's formed into this pillar and it's moving, and now everybody's got to break camp. You ever feel like that? All of a sudden the Lord's doing something, you go, "Oop, I got to break camp. I got to pack up, or I've got to get my thing together because the Lord's going somewhere, and if you don't hurry up, you might miss it." That's why the people of Israel, the children of Israel, lived in tents so they could pack up quickly. And I think there's some real blessings in not getting too rooted here on this earth. You know, when the Lord says, "Hey, let's go do this," so many of us will go, "Can't." "How come?" "Well, I got this and I got that and I got this and I got the other thing. And so, Lord, I'm just really unable." And those things, you see, that we allow to be in our way so often, the Lord perhaps would say to us, "Don't get too attached. Don't get too fixed in this world because things can change." Do you understand how quickly things can change in your life? I do. I've seen it over and over again. And just when I think I figured out what's going on, I don't know anything about what's going on. I think, "Oh, I know where we're going. I know the direction." And all of a sudden, I don't know nothing. I know absolutely zero about what the Lord's doing now. Where are we going? And I find myself back on my knees again saying, "Okay, Lord, so where are we going?" You know. And what had happened is I got ahead of the Lord. I started figuring out what he was doing when I really didn't have any business figuring out what he was doing. The cloud did not, by the way, you know, speak to the people and say, "Here's where we're going. We're going here." So just in case you were wondering, here's where we're going here, and then we're going to stop here for lunch, and then we're going to go. You know, the cloud didn't do any of that. The cloud formed and moved out, and the people just had to trust that wherever that cloud's going, it's going to be the right place for us to be. And they didn't try and figure it out. They just followed. A lot of freedom in that, folks. Don't figure it out. Just follow. When Jesus says, "Here's the answer, here's the way," just do it. Just go. Now, they hadn't gotten very far on their journey. They just broke camp, really. And they start to head out. And before they get too far, God allows this bit of knowledge to be known in the midst of the journey. Before it even gets too far underway, God says, "Let's make this perfectly clear." And here's what happened. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, Miriam, you know who Miriam is? This is Moses' older sister. Miriam, the one who actually put Moses in that little ark and put him in the Nile River, remember? And watched it float. Remember the Ten Commandments? Remember the movie? As she just kind of watched him drift, she kind of kept an eye on him and reported back to her mom that he was taken in by Pharaoh's, you know, family and all that. Well, anyway, this is Miriam. Miriam, his oldest sister. And Aaron. Aaron's the older brother of Moses. Moses was the baby. And so his older sister and his older brother, Miriam and Aaron, spake against Moses, verse 1 says, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses, verse 3, was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again. Verse 15, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. An interesting story takes place in the midst of the camp just being broken and moving on. And the Lord, I believe, speaks this very suddenly, very quickly, before they get too far into the journey. God has to make a serious point about something that has crept in to the camp. Miriam and Aaron, the siblings of Moses, they were a team with Moses. God had brought them together as a family to actually be the ministers for the children of Israel. They were the team, so to speak. They all had their duties. They had their role to play in the ministry that God was allowing them to be a part of by his grace, by his mercy. And here's the thing. Miriam had a role to play. She was the one, again, who saved Moses' life when he was just a baby. She also was known as a prophetess, we read in other scriptures. And she was the one that ministered to the women when they came across the Red Sea. Remember, she was the one that led the women in song and all that. And she was, you know, ministering to the gals. And so she had a position. She had a role to play, a ministry she was a part of that God had given to her. Aaron, of course, as you know, was the high priest. He was given that role as the high priest. Boy, it just doesn't get any better than that. You know, for Aaron to be named as the first high priest of Israel, that's quite an honor. That was his role. But neither one of them had the role or the authority that Moses had. Moses was the one to lead the people, to lead the congregation. He was the one who really was God's man, so to speak, for that particular ministry. He had the authority, you see. And it's interesting because Miriam and Aaron knew it. They knew that Moses was the one who had the authority. And we see there that Miriam, in verse 1, leads this accusation against Moses, her little brother. Because we see there in verse 1, it says, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now, when you see that word spake, You need to understand it's in the feminine tense, which means that Miriam was doing the talking. Miriam was the one that really brought the accusation about. And Aaron followed after her. Now, was that unusual for Aaron? No. You remember the golden calf incident? Remember when Moses was up on the mountain and the people grew impatient? They said, we don't know what happened to Moses. You know, we don't know where he's at. He went up on the mountain or something. And they said, make us a God we can really see and touch. You know, we need some kind of tangible God. And Aaron obliged them. Aaron went ahead and fashioned that golden calf for him. Aaron wasn't the strongest in character. He didn't have a lot of backbone, you might say. And so when Miriam brings this up, you can hear him talking before they actually approach Moses. You can hear Miriam saying, who does he think he is? He is the younger of us all. He's our little brother, you know. And who does he think he is with this I'm the leader of Israel thing? We better have a talk with Moses, don't you think, Aaron? Okay, you know. And that's kind of the scenario here. And Miriam leads this. That's why it's in the feminine tense here. And you have to understand that in order to understand what happens later. So Miriam makes this accusation. Now, the thing that they accuse Moses of has nothing to do with the real issue. They say there in verse 1, hey, Moses, you have a problem. You married an Ethiopian woman. And it says, for Moses married an Ethiopian woman. So obviously, Zipporah, Moses' first wife, has died or something, because she's not in the picture anymore. We don't see her throughout the rest of this journey. Something happened to Zipporah. We're not told exactly what. Perhaps she died, or maybe she left Moses. We don't know. She wasn't real happy with Moses, if you recall, when Moses basically forced her hand and she had to circumcise her second son. Remember that incident? And she said, you're a bloody husband to me. You know, and Moses was kind of shocked, you know, and she left. And we see her coming back there in Exodus with her father, with Jethro, but we don't see her again. And so we don't know if she stayed or left or she died or what. But Moses obviously married another woman, an Ethiopian woman. And Miriam uses that as a catalyst to accuse him of something that really, this has nothing to do with. Now, I need to tell you this. That is most of the time the way it works. When people make accusations or challenge authority, and it doesn't really matter whether you're talking about in the church or at the job site or any place else, when someone challenges authority, they'll usually use something to bring the issue up, but it's not really the issue at all. And so Miriam here says, hey, you married that Ethiopian woman. You know, you had no right to do that. We don't approve of her. But then in verse 2, she makes known the real issue, doesn't she? They said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Now here's the real issue, isn't it? It's the authority Moses has that they're after. They look at Moses and they say, we don't like that woman you married. And are you the only one that God speaks through anyway? Doesn't God use us in ministry? Doesn't God use us for anything? Are we chopped liver around here? And they are challenging the authority Moses has been given by God. And this is interesting. I mean, doesn't Miriam and Aaron have any authority or any ministry? Of course they do. They have all kinds of ministry opportunities, but they just don't have this one opportunity. All the opportunities are available to them. Miriam, you've got women's ministry. You've got all kinds of cool things you can be a part of. Man, the women love you and all the rest. Why don't you do that, you see? And Aaron, you're the high priest, you see. You've got all kinds of duties that are important and man, a position that's really vital to the nation and all that. But they didn't have what Moses had, which led to the real problem. This is what God is going to address before the people get too far on their journey, and that is they've got a problem with envy. They're envious of Moses because Moses has been given authority by God to do certain things that they can't do, that they don't have any authority to take part in, and they cannot stand it. They can't take it. Now, envy, folks, in case you don't know really what envy means. I mean, I think you do know pretty much what it means, but it's a deeper subject perhaps than we might think. Envy is obviously wanting something that another person has. But it can come in so many forms, and it can go so deep into a person's character that they don't even realize that they've got it. Envy is that trait that's within all of us that can creep up from time to time that really desires something that somebody else has. And it can be a position, it can be power, it can be their looks, it can be a number of things. Whatever somebody else has that you don't have is envy if you are desiring it and making that really plain and clear. It's not coveting, it's different than coveting. Coveting is wanting more of what you already have. In other words, coveting is like saying, well, I have a car, but I don't have that one. You see, I want that car because that's a nicer car than the one I have. Well, you already have a car, don't you? Does it get you to the store and back? Well, yeah, but it doesn't get me there as nicely as that one does. That's coveting. And you see your neighbor pull up in the new car, which is, by the way, what he wants you to do. He wants you to covet his car. That's why he bought it. And it works real well. He bought the new house and painted it that color and does his lawn that way. So you will want to be him. That's the whole purpose. You know it's true. If you buy a new car, sorry, the same thing applies to you. You want people to look at you and go, man, I wish I was him. I just wish I was that person. Look at that car. He doesn't belong in that car. I belong in. I mean, I would look so good in that. He doesn't look good in that car. What's he? And you say that. I know you do. You say this in your own heart. When you see somebody, have you ever seen a guy like he's like 75 years old and he's driving a Corvette and you go, what in the world is he doing? Well, he can afford one. That's what he's doing, isn't it? He can afford that car. You know, us guys that are still, you know, in our 40s or 50s, we can't afford those cars. So we don't drive them. So the old guys get to drive them, you know? And we wonder, why does he have that? Well, it's coveting. We already have cars. We already have houses, perhaps. We already have clothes to wear. We have hair or not. But we have, you know, we have a certain look about us. It may not be his look, but we have. So coveting would be saying, I want what that person has, even though I already have it. I just don't have what they have in that way. Envy, however, is saying they have it and I don't have that at all. And I want that. I want it. And this is the problem with Miriam and Aaron. And I believe it's Miriam's struggle, and Aaron is just kind of going along with it. Again, Aaron's a little bit weak in the character department, so he has a problem resisting people when they have an opinion. And Miriam's got a strong opinion, and Aaron's just saying, okay. Yeah, who's Moses think he is anyway? Now, watch this, though. Watch this. I want you to notice that in verse 2, at the end there, after they spoke those words, after Miriam says, has God just spoken through you, or doesn't he speak through us? Moses says God heard it. Now, God heard their words, and he knew their heart. He hears the real issue coming through loud and clear. You guys are challenging Moses. You're challenging his authority. He knew their heart, and God makes it very, very clear. Notice there in verse 3, this kind of cracks me up. Verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth." Do you know who wrote this book? Moses. He just throws that in there. It's in parentheses. He kind of throws that in. By the way, while we're on the subject, Moses says, Moses was the meekest man who ever walked the face of the earth. Amazing. Now, if you didn't understand that the Bible was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you'd just think Moses was just, you know, clanging his own chain there. You know, I mean, he puts that in there for a reason. And we'll see it lived out in Moses' response to their accusation. And this is a point that God says, take note of this. Moses is meek. Now, meekness, you know, guys, is not that trait that everybody might think is weak in somebody. If someone's meek, they say, as meek as a mouse. That's not what meekness represents. And whoever came up with that term had a misunderstanding of what meekness is. It's not meek as a mouse. It's as meek as a lion that is under control. Meekness is strength, power. It's incredible power. They use the word in the Greek to describe a stallion, a big horse that is powerful and yet has a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. So here's this massive animal who could stomp you into a bunch of little pieces, and yet he's under control. That's what meekness represents. So Moses here isn't like a mouse. He isn't mousy. He's powerful, but he's under control. And this is why we see what comes about. Watch this. Verse 4, the Lord spake suddenly. Watch what the Lord does. He speaks suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Look at verse 1. It was Miriam and Aaron speaking against Moses. Do you notice what the Lord did there? He reversed the order. He speaks to Moses, Aaron, and who's last? Miriam. Now, the Lord doesn't just do that nonchalantly, I don't think. I think he's making a very important point. Moses is my man, and Aaron's the high priest. Miriam, Miriam with the problem, you're last. You're last in the order here. And it's interesting because what happens then is the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he calls Miriam and Aaron, and they both came forth. And watch what God does here. He says, verse 6, hear now, he says, my words. Hear what I'm saying to you. If there be a prophet among you, or he might say to Miriam, a prophetess, as she was known by, if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. If I have someone that I am using as a prophet, if I'm using somebody in ministry in any way, I will make myself known unto them somehow. And that's true. The Lord speaks through many people and in many ways, and we know that to be so. But he says, my servant Moses, verse 7, it's not like that with Moses. Moses doesn't see in visions and dreams from me, God says. It's not so, because Moses, he says, is faithful in all mine house, and with him, verse 8, I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. Moses obviously heard directly from God, in a way that nobody else has since heard. There's nobody else in all of scriptures who has heard this way from God that we know of, that's recorded in the scriptures. Moses was special in this way. The prophets heard, like he says, in visions and dreams. Remember Isaiah and Jeremiah, they saw visions and they saw dreams and they saw these things unfold. Daniel and all the rest, they saw the visions, they saw the prophecies unfolding. But nobody, no one has ever heard from God like Moses had. Now that's enough to make you envious. If that's what you're really after for the position that it entails. And this is the problem with Miriam and Aaron at this point, especially Miriam. She wants that. Now, this goes way back, guys, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Now, you women are going to have to kind of hold on to your hats if you got them. Most of you don't have hats. What happened to hats with women? When I was a kid, I went to church. Everybody, all the women wore hats. Do you remember that? You remember those days? All the women. My mom had this hat that was like like feathers, and it was like this huge thing, you know? And never mind. No, don't hold on to your hats. Hold on to your hair or something. But here's what's happening here, and it goes back to the garden. Eve, in the garden, was enticed by Satan, the serpent. Remember? Now, was she enticed by Satan with cocaine and pornography? Did Satan come to Eve and say, hey, look at this, or here, snort that? No. What was she enticed with? Spiritual power. Spiritual power. He came and said, hey, Eve, did God really say that you're going to die if you eat of that tree? And she started questioning. Well, he said that, you know, and you're not going to die, he says. God knows that when you eat that tree and eat of the fruit of it, it's going to make you like him. You're going to be more spiritual. And so that was the enticement. Eve said, really? So you mean if I eat of that, then I can be more spiritual? Well, then who would she be more spiritual then? Well, there's only one other person on the earth, unfortunately, at that point in time. The only other person alive on the earth was Adam. I will be more spiritual than Adam. Huh. Nice. Oh, I always knew I was more spiritual than Adam anyway. Where is Adam anyway? He's off naming animals or something. And she's there getting this spiritual insight, so to speak. And it was the demise of them both. Now, guys, I got to tell you, women will naturally step up to the plate spiritually, much more than men do. But the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that that is not to be the case. There in Ephesians 5, Paul says, you men need to step up to the plate and spiritually lead your wives. And that is submission for men. That is the submission part a man has to do. Why? Because he naturally won't do that. Now, Paul goes on to say, women, you need to submit to your husbands. That's submission for you. Why? Because you naturally won't do that. You see, submission is only submission when it's hard for you to do it. It's not like, hey, your husband comes home and says, hey, honey, here, I brought you some chocolate, some flowers, and I want to take you out to dinner. And you say, okay, I'll submit. That's not submission. That's, wee, you know, all right. Submission's only submission when it's hard. And the hard part for women is to submit to their husbands. The hard part for a man, however, is to lead his wife spiritually. The men would just as soon kind of kick back, you see. And guys, there is a lot of churches where women run everything. Maybe you've been to one of those or 10 of them. Women do everything. Why? Because men won't. And if women do it, men just say, well, great, it's handled. And if your wives, you see, don't demand any spiritual guidance from you, they'll do it themselves, and you'll just go, cool. She's praying. She's doing devotions. She's good. She's doing good. You know, I'm just going to watch the game. She's doing fine. Now, this is something that is so obvious, really. I mean, the Bible makes it so clear. That is not the way it's to be. And Miriam here is experiencing the same thing that happened back in the garden. The temptation was, I want that. I want that power and position that Moses has. And God says, you know what, Miriam? This is not for you. Moses is the one to lead the congregation, and really, you're to submit to him. And it was tough for her, tougher than it was for Aaron, because Aaron would have followed anybody. As we'll see again, Aaron's just a follower. He doesn't have a real opinion about anything in many respects. So here's what happens, though. God says, this is who Moses is. I speak with him, apparently, and I don't speak in dark speeches like I do with you, Miriam. I speak to you in ways that you have to kind of ponder and wonder and pray through. Is that what he really said? We hear the same way, don't we? The Lord speaks to us and we say, man, Lord, is that what you're saying, really? Or are you saying something else? Miriam was hearing like we do from the Lord, and so was Aaron. But Moses heard directly in this apparent way, and he sees, it says in verse 8, the similitude of the Lord. In other words, he beholds the glory of God in a way that they don't. Now again, that will make a person envious if they're desiring that. Is that a bad thing to desire, by the way? No. It's only a bad thing to desire if it steps outside the perimeters of what God says you ought to be seeking him in. You see, some people want the power of God. They want that insight. They want that relationship even, so that they can use it. In what way? In all kinds of ways. There's a lot of advantages, you see, to saying that God spoke to me. People do it all the time, by the way. They say, well, God spoke to me about this, and he told me that you're supposed to do this and that and the other. And I always say, well, when he speaks to me about that, I'll let you know. But that's thrown around in Christian circles way, way too often, folks, where people say, well, God told me this. Really? When did he tell you that? And where is it in the Word? And where is it confirmed in the Spirit? You see, people have this way of saying God said it when they want it to happen. And it's wrong. It's sinful, as we'll see. It's sin to do that, folks. Make no mistake about it. Don't throw God's name around on your agenda. It's sin. And people do it continually. It troubles me when I hear people do that. You know, God said so. He told me. Really? Now, you remember a guy named Simon the Sorcerer? There in the book of Acts, he had an encounter with Peter. Remember? Peter was there ministering, and the power of the Holy Spirit was flowing from Peter. He was anointed. He was empowered. And the Spirit was doing all kinds of wonderful things. People were getting saved. People were being filled with the Spirit and all that. And it was an awesome thing going on. This guy stood around, Simon. And he looks at what happens when Peter is ministering and power is flowing. And he approaches Peter and says, hey, I want that. How much does it cost? How much? You know, name your price. I'll buy that from you. And Peter says, your money perish with you, Simon. You cannot buy this power. It's not for sale. Why did Simon want it? Well, the Word tells us that Simon was a sorcerer, a magician, one that tried to impress people with some magic tricks and doing things. And he wanted to use this for gain. He wanted to make a living off of it, is what he wanted to do. Are there any of those Simons running around today who want to make a living off of a powerful showing of God's Spirit? Sadly, yeah. And you got to be careful, folks, when people are talking about money in the same sentence that they're talking about God's power. Do you know what I'm saying? When people are attaching the power of God working with some money that you could be giving, you got to put up a little red flag and say, well, I see a Simon. Simon says, send me some money and you'll have power. And you've got to be careful with that. But this is something that Miriam has a heart for. She wants the power, perhaps not to make money, but to have that position. She wants people to look at her and say, whoa, Miriam, man, you're awesome. Look at what you can do, and look at the authority you have. And the reason God points out that Moses was the meekest man on earth is because he had the most power given to him on earth, which is in direct proportion to what God will do, I believe. People who want God's power for the wrong reasons, I don't believe God gives it to them. So when people are using God's power, so to speak, in ways that are corrupt, I don't believe it's God's power at all. Because I believe God is very, very careful in how he approaches and deals with and moves through people based upon what their motive and their heart is to use that with. And Moses was a meek man, the meekest man on the face of the earth. He was given the most authority and power ever given to a man apart from Jesus Christ. And Miriam wanted it. She wanted it. God makes it clear, that is not something that you're going to have. And he says, Moses hears from me directly, and he says there in verse 8, wherefore, at the end there, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You know that you're dealing with a man who hears directly from me, who has the authority that no other man on this earth has. You know that to be true. Why weren't you respectful enough to listen to him? And he calls her on this. And the anger, verse 9, of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Note this, folks, when you're challenging, listen carefully, when you're challenging authority, whether it's in the church or whether it's in your family, listen carefully. The Lord says, I departed from that. Well, what do you mean? He's not into that. He's not in it. He's not into challenging authority that he establishes. In other words, he's not behind you. He's not behind it. He's not behind church splits. He's not behind dissension in the church that causes there to be church disorder and splitting. And folks, listen carefully. If you're in a place, and if you're in this place, and you cannot trust the authority, the leadership in this church, then you should go somewhere else where you can trust the leadership. But what happens so often, and what Miriam is trying to accomplish here, is what so many people do. They're trying to change the way it works here. I've got a better way. I've got a better way of doing that or doing this. Therefore, I'm going to make it known. I'm not going to bring up the real issue, that is, I want to challenge the authority. I'm just going to whisper to everybody that, you know, the way they do that really stinks. Or, you know, I don't understand why they do that. Or, you know, I don't get it. What's the deal with this? Or, I asked to be in a position, and they said, well, take a hike. That can happen over and over. And the thing is, why doesn't that person just leave? I'll tell you why. Because the real issue is they want to challenge the authority. Because they are unsubmitted in their heart. And it happens over and over. Church splits are sinful. They're sinful. When people go about trying to cause there to be this disorder, disharmony in the body, it's plain old sin. Well, how do you know? Well, let's look. Not only does the Lord depart, in other words, he's not into this, but watch this. The cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. Leprosy, a picture of what? Sin. She becomes leprous and white as snow, it says. She became like a white, cloudy person in her countenance. Why? Well, before she turned white, she was green. She was green with envy before she turned white as a leper. And this is what happens, folks. Envy, that thought, that attitude, that desire that wants to override, take somebody else out and put me there, is green envy that leads to white leprosy. It's sin. And she turns into a leper right there. And watch, Aaron, he doesn't turn into a leper. How come? Well, again, we saw in the beginning of this story that it was the feminine tense. She was leading this thing. And she gets the accountability attached to her for it. Aaron was a follower. And he, watch what Aaron does. Aaron says in verse 11 unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon who? Us. I know I'd had my part in this," he says. "And wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned." I know it's both of us, but she's the leader of this thing. I know that, and she's got leprosy. And watch what he says in verse 12. "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed." She was being eaten up in her flesh because somebody else had authority. It was eating her up. She was green with envy, turned white as a leper, and it's just eating her flesh. She's just getting eaten up by it. You got to ask yourself once in a while, folks, what's eating you? What's eating you? Could be envy. Could be envy. Envy could eat you up. Envy could eat you up. Happens all the time. Someone else has authority. Somebody else has a position. And I want it. I want that. And if I don't have it, it's going to eat me up. It's going to just chew me up. I can't take it. Well, God says, you're going to have to deal with it. And Aaron cries out and pleads with Moses. And here's Moses' heart. This is why the Spirit inspired Moses to say he was the meekest man on earth. Watch what Moses does. After he's been challenged, after he's been falsely accused, after all this, Moses in verse 13 cries unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now." Heal her. He doesn't say, "Heal her in about a month or two. I mean, let her suffer for a while. Let her just deal with it for a while, Lord. She's challenged me, you know." He says, "Heal her now, Lord. Heal her right now. I beseech thee. I plead with thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again." Seven, folks, is the number of completion. She had to finish dealing with this. This is important. She had to finish dealing with that issue. She had to be done with envy. And if she wasn't, what? Well, she was outside the camp. And what would that accomplish? What did that do to the congregation when she was outside the camp dealing with this issue of envy? What was that doing to the camp? Well, look at this. Verse 15, Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. This slowed down the whole congregation. The whole body. The whole group of the children of Israel were stalled because of this sinful tendency that Miriam brought forth. Nothing happens. Everything slowed down. The leadership couldn't focus on what they needed to. They had to focus on envy in the body. And this happens a lot. There's churches presently that you probably know of, that you may have been in, that are still dealing with this issue, and they can't go anywhere. They don't get anywhere in the spiritual needs that they have in their body. Why? Because they're dealing with this. The authority in the church is constantly being challenged, and the leadership in the church doesn't know what to do, so they have meetings and they vote on what to do next. You know, what are they supposed to do? I don't know in their particular instance what they're to do, but God does. And he says, nothing's going to happen until that's dealt with. Nothing. No movement. Nothing's going to take place until that issue is dealt with. And let me just suggest something to you today. In your life, in your walk personally with the Lord, you, if you're dealing with this, if you're dealing with this issue, your spiritual walk is going to be the same. Stalled. Idle. You're not going anywhere until this is dealt with. Until it's finished. Until she was out there 7 days and had dealt with and finished that tendency that she had with envy, she wasn't coming back into the camp. In other words, the whole congregation wasn't going anywhere. If you think that things are slowing down in this church, pray against envy, because that will surely slow things down. It surely will. It does continually in churches that we're aware of. Constantly. There was a price to pay for it. And everybody had to deal with it. Everybody had to pay part of the price. She couldn't come back in until it was dealt with her. But let me just say this and then I'm done. But I want you to understand something today. Moses was dealt a hand by the Lord that only he would be able to do. Miriam and Aaron didn't understand that they had also been given gifts and abilities and a purpose and a plan and a ministry that only they were to be a part of and accomplish. But rather than saying, "Ah, that's so cool, I'm content with that. I'm content with the Lord's given me abilities to do that and be a part of this, and that's excellent." Rather than saying that, there was this envy that crept in that said, I want what Moses has. I want that. And unless I have that, I'm going to be a troublemaker. And Aaron and Miriam would have done better, you see, to just leave. And they couldn't, Miriam could not come back in. Her leprosy was still upon her until she finished with that issue of envy. And that's just the way it is, folks. And it'll kill your walk. It'll stall you out. It'll cause you to just be withered up and dry if you're constantly looking at somebody else and saying, I want that. I want that. I want what they have. I want his car. I want his house. I want his life. I want his authority and position. It'll just tear you apart and eat you up. Let's pray. Lord, we pray even now for the issues, Lord, that we face in our life that might cause envy to creep in and cause, Lord, us to be eaten up, green with envy, Lord. Help us to see that it's sinful stuff. And Lord, looking upon another and saying, I want his place, or I want his job, or I want his authority, or whatever it might be, is just going to chew us up. And it's going to cause us all, Lord, to be affected by it. This whole thing will slow down. while we deal with that issue. We pray against it, Lord. Pray that our hearts would be purged and cleansed, that we would not, Father, allow that to enter in, that we would look upon, Lord, the gifts that you've given us, and we would say, oh, thanks, Lord. I'm content with what you're doing in my life. I'm grateful that you've forgiven my sin. I'm so blessed that you're allowing me to be a part of anything you're doing. And, Father, I will look for things that you're going to do in and through me, but, Father, I'm not going to look at everybody else and want what they have. I'm going to just desire what you want for me. And I pray, Lord, that we would have that heart today. I pray that we would see the story with Miriam and Aaron and Moses and realize that, Lord, you have a plan for each of us. And when we step outside the boundaries of that, it's a sinful thing. It creates all kinds of problems. Forgive us. Restore, Lord, the reality of that to our hearts. And keep us, Lord, moving in the direction you want us to go. Bless you for that. Thanks for your word today. Bless my brothers and sisters and the moms. Lord, may they just have a joyous day today, being blessed by you in all things. And we give you that, Lord. We give you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.